Welcome to the Lose Weight, Live Life podcast. If you're someone who would do anything to lose weight, yet finds it impossible to stick to a diet, to eat less, or just what you think you should, this podcast is for you. I am your host, certified life and weight mindset coach, Claire McKenzie. Listen in to learn how to stop overeating, lose weight for the last time, and create a relationship with food and yourself that you love, all without diet deprivation and self-sabotage. Hi, everyone, and a very warm welcome to the Lose Weight, Live Life podcast, episode number 161. So I've got a special episode for you today, and that is the Q&A session that I just did last night from our Weight Wellness Coaching Experience Week that has been going on all of this week. We've done 5 days, we had 4 teaching classes, and then we had the Q&A last night, and that's what I'm sharing with you today. And I just want to also let you know that right now the Lose Weight Live Life Academy spring enrollment is open, so we would love to help you, support you with your weight loss. If you're looking for help and support, come join us in the Lose Weight Live Life Academy. You can find out more at www.thebestyou.coach/enroll. And we start our new Food for Thought program next week on Wednesday. And I think there's still some bonuses available. So there's some bonuses available, I think, to the end of this weekend. So do check out www.thebestyou.coach/enroll. If you're looking for help and support with your weight loss, we'd love to help you be your happiest, healthiest, and most free self. But in the meantime, enjoy this Q&A episode. So welcome everyone to this evening's Q&A. This is the first of 2 Q&A calls that we have as a part of this week. And what I have done is I have been through the Facebook community and grabbed out questions that I could see answering tonight. I think on most of them I put a note and let you know that I will be answering them on the call this evening. I also put a thread in the group about an hour ago and asked you to put questions on there, because if the questions are on there, I hopefully will be able to see them. And I won't have the usual Facebook glitch of not being able to scroll through and see the comments on the video version, which will be fantastic. And if you're in the Zoom room, then please go ahead and put your questions in the Q&A box as well. And I'm just going to get started and I'm going to dive right in. All right. So let me just find these questions and we will be getting started right away. Okay. All right. So the first question that I'm going to address is a question from Leslie. This is in the Facebook community. Leslie says, after a little analysis, I've come to the conclusion that I'm an afternoon mindless snacker. Any suggestions on avoiding this bad habit? Okay. So I'm going to answer this as I would if you were kind of in the academy. And so first of all, I would probably point out to you that I would really encourage you not to label it as a bad habit, because that suggests that we've got some judgment around that and that's never going to be useful. So we always want to kind of let go of any judgment and be curious about the habit. So yeah, it is likely to be a habit. I would also ask myself if I was you, is this habit giving me something? So a couple of things could be happening here. One is that this could be something that developed in, I don't know, maybe you were in a particularly stressful job a few years ago or something, and you really wanted that kind of afternoon escape or something like that. And so you kind of created the habit of having an afternoon snack. And it might well be now that you're in a different role, a different environment, your day is different, but you kind of took the afternoon snack habit with you. So it could be purely habitual and it's not really about anything emotional. It's just a habit that's like being carried forward. Alternatively, it could be that it is still giving you something today. So I really encourage you to also to look at your day and ask yourself about your day now. So is it possible that this afternoon snacking habit, is it currently giving you a break or like a physical break from work? Is it giving you a mental, emotional break? Is it allowing you to escape for a few minutes from the chatter that's going on in your mind? Is it about a little bit of pleasure to kind of like pep you up, help you move forward for the rest of the day? I'm going to assume it's not to do with physical hunger, because you're kind of talking about it as if it's a habit rather than, oh, I'm really hungry, I've got to have an afternoon snack. If it was physical hunger, then I would be encouraging you to look at your lunch, because if we're having, we don't really need to be hungry a couple of hours after we've eaten. That would either suggest that our hormones aren't as balanced as we would like them to be, or it might be that your lunch is, particularly carby or something like that. So you're getting a bit of a sugar rise and then you're getting a bit of a crash 2 hours later. And we want to avoid that as well. So I'm going to assume that this is more about either pure habit or it's giving you something emotionally supporting you in the sort of the here and now, in the current day, in terms of what your days currently look like. So if it's not, so if it's if it is actually it's about having a break for you or having an escape from yourself, then I would really encourage you to find other ways to take a break, to escape, get outside, get the sun on your face. If it's sun shining, at least some light, some fresh air, do a couple of minutes of meditation or breathing, walk around the block, and put some, it depends where you work. If you're working, if you're at home, you can put some music on and jump around for a bit, but do something to break up your afternoon so that it's not a case of like you're either doing this one thing or you're breaking up your afternoon with food. That's what we want to move away from. If you think it's not about that and it's purely you've actually got afternoons that are all different and varied, or you're got plenty of opportunities for breaks and you're taking those, all of those sorts of things, then it's very habitual. I would kind of notice what triggers that. Is it the time? Is it a certain point in the day where you don't do something that's quite repetitive, that you're doing the same thing each day? So a lot of people, for example, might have a habit around having something to eat when they sit down to watch television in the evening. And it's that like sort of sitting down, watching television. It's like, okay, now I get to treat myself and have something to eat. And that's what the habit's born out of. So you kind of want to see what your trigger is. And then I would decide what you want to do. So is it the concern here that at this point in time, you're eating something that you're considering is hindering any weight loss efforts? So is it about the fact that this snack tends to be high in refined carbohydrates, or it's a crisp snack or something like that? Or is it more that just actually you don't want to be snacking in the afternoon? And so I would decide which of those you want to make. And then I would you mentioned it being mindless. So what the first thing that you might want to do is to be very intentional about what you have as a snack. So you might actually want to plan a alternative snack that is not mindless and is actually very intentional. Or you might just want to go straight to, actually, you know what? I like the lunch that I have. I like the dinner that I have. I know perfectly well that I am comfortable going from lunch to dinner without having a snack. I want to do the work around sitting with this and just allowing it to feel a little bit uncomfortable until the habit changes. And I talk about that's something we teach you to do in the academy. We call it sort of like sitting with that urge, that discomfort of wanting to eat something. And you can actually, once you've done that enough times, that urge will just go away. You won't even get it anymore. It won't be something that your brain will even suggest to you, oh, I should go and have a snack. So a couple of things to think about there. One is understanding what it's about for you. Two is deciding whether this is about having a healthy alternative. If it is, I would get really specific with planning and make a plan for what you want that to look like and set yourself up to support yourself with that. And three, if it's the fact that you don't want to have a snack at all, then I would be prepared to kind of do the work of knowing that it's going to be a little bit uncomfortable for a bit. What you don't want to do is like kind of resist it or distract yourself. You want to just be like, yeah, we want a snack. It's okay. It's going to feel uncomfortable for a while until we get used to not having a snack, and just sort of like be very gentle with yourself, compassionate with yourself. It's not gonna might not feel great, but it's not gonna feel too terrible either. It's just gonna be a little bit uncomfortable, a little bit restless for a bit, and that's okay. All right, so hope that helps. Thank you for asking your question, Leslie. Next question I've got is from Alison. Alison says, hi, I'm posting to introduce myself. I'm 59, big 16 August. Congratulations. I'm overweight and have a few reasons why I want to lose. You've said need. I changed it to want automatically because you don't need to lose weight if you decide if you want to, but just don't get there. So just that's my first thing. I say this to everybody. Just watch where you say what you ha I have to lose weight. I need to lose weight. I must lose weight. Just check in and say to myself, do I want to lose weight? It's really important that you decide whether you want to lose weight or you don't. Stop telling, and chances are you may well want to lose weight. So if you want to lose weight, then own that. Stop telling yourself you need to, and just be like, actually, I really would like to lose weight. I want to lose weight. It feels more like you're doing it for yourself rather than you need to because of some, I don't know, BMI chart or doctor or other person in your life. So own it if you want it. And you've then gone to say, my doctor wants me to lose a stone. Okay. So yeah, this is probably where a little bit of your work is going to be, is actually, do I actually want to lose the weight or not? Do I want to lose the weight so that I can have this operation? You also said that you do want to feel confident and comfortable on your cruise. So that's great. You know, that's something that you want. So that might be something that's easier. That might be a little bit of an insight there, that maybe that is more important to you almost than the fact your doctor wants you to lose a stone. So that might be something you want to tap into and focus on and remind yourself. And what you also said, that you want to look healthy and not feel frumpy at your youngest wedding as well. So again, tap into that. Those are the ones that feel like the ones that you really want to kind of own. You said that you did a Dance Yourself Fit in January, which you're enjoying, but you're a little bit disheartened when you've not lost any weight. Yeah, I think that it's really difficult with exercise. Sometimes we can do so much exercise, but unless we actually address what we're eating, exercise is brilliant. So don't, you know, really appreciate yourself that you've done that. It will have been brilliant for your physical health, your emotional health. There's so many benefits. So be really, really proud that you've done that, and be like, and I would encourage you to continue. Absolutely. But you'd just be like, okay, actually what's going to make the difference for me is making some changes around how we're eating. You mentioned comparing yourself to another person who lost a stone. Chances are they made some changes around how they were eating. Try not to step into compare and despair. It's really easy. It's human nature, but it kind of leaves us feeling a little bit just not great. And I don't like that for people. I want you to be feeling great. Now that you go on to say then, I know I'm eating too much. So that's great that you know that. You say, I'm eating if I'm stressed. You say you're eating with grief. You eat when you're happy too. You find that you look for sweet things after your meal. You're saying you just love eating. Saying you're an emotional eater for sure. All right. So what I would suggest, so there's some things that you kind of know there, which is really, really good. What I would suggest you do is that you write down how you're eating currently for at least 3 days, especially if you eat differently on the weekends to the week. Get a really good snapshot what your current eating looks like before you change anything. And I want you to write, I don't want you to count calories. I don't want you to weigh things. I just want you to write down the time and then the different foods that you're eating. So, you know, chicken, potatoes, broccoli, biscuits, crisps, whatever it is, just write the actual food items down. So time, food items. And I want you to do that. And then I want you to look back and reflect on it. And I want you to observe your own thoughts about what you're eating and how you're eating. So how you're eating would be things like, are you eating three meals? Are you eating three meals and three snacks? Are you grazing? I want you to be really clear on how many times a day you're eating. How you're eating might also have you observing whether you are eating, you know, are you always eating, sitting at a table? Or are you eating in your car, on the go, standing at the side in the kitchen, watching television? Just make these observations about how you're eating. And then I want you to have a look at what you're eating and see what you observe about that. And I would suggest you look at things like, you know, are you eating whole foods versus ultra processed and processed foods? Are you eating a good mix of protein and healthy fat and carbohydrate? And if you want any help with knowing that, then you can ask me. That's the sort of thing that I would help people with in the academy if they wanted help with that. And then also, so you want to get a picture of all of those things. And you can also be making some observations about some emotional eating as well. So you might, if you reflected back and thought, okay, which of these were in response to a stress response, then just highlight those in one color pen. If there's something else going on, highlight those in another pen, color pen, something like that. And just, you are going to become the expert on you. So I want you to think of this as, you are your greatest project. You are the best person to study yourself and understand yourself and help and support yourself with, of course, some additional knowledge and tools to enable you to be able to do that. So really just sort of, that is your starting point. Then in terms of thinking about what you want to change first, there's a couple of things that I would encourage you to think about. I would encourage you to think first, to look at the what you're eating. And if you're eating foods with lots of refined carbs and added sugars, especially, or if you've got a real pattern of grazing eating, then I would suggest starting there. And I would suggest reducing the amount of foods with refined carbs and added sugars that you're eating and creating defined food time. So you've got some gaps between your eating. And the reason for this is because it's going to help you balance your hunger hormones. So it's going to help you balance your insulin and your ghrelin and your leptin. And the reason that we want to do that is because when they start to balance out, you're going to be an awful lot less hungry. So those hormones responsible for appetite and hunger, and when they're imbalanced, we tend to be a lot more hungry a lot more of the time. So what we want to do is kind of take away some of that physical hunger. And because once we've addressed that, then it's going to be so much easier to address the emotional eating. It's really difficult to address the emotional eating if we've got some, what I call hanger going on, angry hungry, which is what can happen when we've been eating a lot of foods with added sugar and refined carbs. And so I'd suggest taking care of that first and then looking at the emotional side of things. Okay, I hope that's helpful. Thank you for asking that question. Right, I think I'll stick with these first and then I'm going to come and find the questions in the different places. So Caroline says, "Hi, I've been listening to the podcast on and off for the last 2 years. Congratulations. I've taken up resistance training and I'm now consistently exercising twice a week and walking daily." Brilliant. "Over the 2 years, I very slowly lost just over a stone and my BMI is in the normal range. First time in nearly 10 years." Congratulations, Caroline. Really brilliantly. Well done. "As in the past, lost a bit, gained a bit, and then repeat. I can easily self-sabotage, though. I do not want to undo all of the work that I have done. I'm going on holiday next week, then away for a weekend at my sister's, and then my mum comes to stay. So looking to balance how I know I should eat with what's available or on offer, while still really listening to my body. Am I hungry? Have I had enough?" Okay. So I would first of all, I mean, I don't know how you've eaten over the last 2 years to lose the weight that you've lost. So first of all, that's, you will know that, which is fantastic. So you will know what the difference is between how you've been eating and how you might eat or could eat or want to eat on holiday. And so I would start to look at what the difference is for you and start to think about what differences you want to make and what differences actually, you know what, you can do without. So I don't eat breakfast and I don't eat breakfast when I go on holiday, even if it's all inclusive and freely available, because I feel better if I don't eat breakfast. And so what I do when I go on holiday, which I don't normally do, is have dessert. Dessert's more important to me than breakfast. And I have to be very careful around lots of other things in order not to gain weight. But so start to think about what you would naturally like to have on holiday and kind of, I would say, rank those things maybe and see what's most important to you to have. And really examine why you want to have what you want to have. So think about what you're kind of going to gain from it, what it's giving to you. I don't think it was you. I think there was another question on here I'm going to get to in a minute about something. Maybe it was you. So I want to say, I want to see what it tastes like. I think maybe I've missed that. Yeah. So I want to see what it tastes like. I think it's maybe something that you said, or maybe I've got this confused with someone else. So that was really interesting for me because I've also had that thought when I've been on holiday, and that thought has come up to me when it's been an all-inclusive and you've got those little tiny little bits of dessert, like loads of different ones, and you're like, "Oh, well, I just want to see what it tastes like." And it seems like such an innocent little thought. And I was thinking about this and tasting something, the pleasure that we get from tasting something lasts literally a couple of seconds. I, however, when I taste those little desserts like that, I kind of tell myself I'm just going to taste it to see what it tastes like. But then often, very often, I will just eat it, even though it doesn't taste that great. And often I think actually some of those desserts, I don't know if you're going all inclusive or what you're doing, but they all different colors. They look very pretty, but actually they all taste the same. So I sort of like to need to have like a real like grown-up conversation with myself and say, "Look, they've made these bits of, fat and cream and sugar and colorings and flavorings and shape them into different shapes. And they all look really, really pretty, but ultimately they are all just the same." And kind of have this conversation with myself. You really don't need to taste them. You're really not missing out if you don't have them. So for me, I like desserts. I've got a sweet tooth, but actually they are not the most tasty desserts ever. It's like, actually, if I'm going to have a dessert, I'm going to choose something that I really enjoy and I really love. And if those desserts aren't available to me on holiday, then I'm going to wait until I go to my favorite restaurant with my favorite dessert. So it's really having this conversation. It's not around what you don't want to be doing is telling yourself that you can't have something, because that's never true. And as soon as you tell yourself, "I can't have that, I'm not allowed that, or if I have that, even if I have that, gain weight, I really want it, but I'll gain weight," it just puts you in such a place. So you want to keep going back and forth until you like the reasons why you've decided you don't want to have something, or you like the reasons why you've decided you do want to have something. Also, in terms of how you joining in with others, I think was something else that you mentioned. So, and what I wanted to say, actually, before I go on to that one, what I wanted to say was I would plan now. I would really put a plan together now for what your strategy is going to be on holiday, deciding what is important to you about your holiday, thinking about your food, your meals, your drinks, and your snacks. But also outside of the food, I would look at the bigger picture of actually what do you want from your holiday? Do you want to feel relaxed? Do you want to feel adventurous? Do you want to feel connected? Do you want to feel excited or grateful? Really think about what you want from your holiday. Is this about shared moments with a partner? Is it about connecting with a larger group of friends? Is it about just absolutely chilling out with, you know, your favorite books? What is going to create the holiday experience that you want? And really see what a small role food will play in that. You want to create it so that it's not all about the food. Okay, so that is going to be really important to you as well. Okay, and then in terms of joining in with others. So what I would encourage you to think about this is what does it mean? When you say talk about joining in with others, I'm guessing you're thinking about joining in with the food and drink, but what does that actually mean? I was trying to think about this in terms of, you know, if everyone's drinking a drink that you enjoy drinking, then if you're not having that drink, you might be telling yourself, oh, I'm missing out, I'm not joining in. But if everyone was drinking, so for me, if everyone was drinking shots of whiskey and I chose not to have that because I don't like whiskey, I wouldn't think, oh, I'm not joining in the same way that I might if they were having something that I really enjoy. So just like watch your mind around this and the stories that it says, oh, if you're not having something, then you're not joining in. Because actually, I think sometimes our brains kind of like tell us a bit of a tale about this. And remind yourself that joining in is about talking and connecting and sharing and conversation. It's about sharing the view and the atmosphere just as much as it is the food, if not more. Okay, there's so much more to share with people and to join in with people than the food and the drink. So this is all mindset work. This is where it is, I think, going to be really important. So a bit of planning, a bit of logistical work, definitely, and a bit of mindset work. Something else about going on holiday, I always say this to people in the academy, that oftentimes one of the most difficult parts is like the journey home and what happens when you get in. So really plan your journey home, support yourself for that. And also when you get back home and you've got like all of that holiday washing and it's like, ugh, make sure you've set yourself up with some really easy meals in the freezer, or you've got your shopping order done, or whatever it is, because that can be a time that can be quite challenging as well if we've not planned for it. And then I think you... Then you said you've got away for a weekend at your sister's and then your mum comes to stay. Okay, let's take the same approach for the weekend away at your sister's and your mum coming to stay. Plan as much as you can. If you can have a conversation with your sister beforehand and let her know that you know what you do or don't want to eat or anything like that. If she's your sister's preparing meals for you, then focus on not eating beyond hungry and focus on sort of smaller portion sizes because you're not so in control of the food choices that you're making. But also just sort of check in terms of your relationship with your sister. Are you comfortable saying no, thank you? Will you feel under pressure to eat anything? And it might be that you want to do some mindset work around that. There's quite a lot here. Obviously, I can't like give, like, you know, it would be a lot to work through with you, but hopefully talking about the holiday gives you some pointers and some suggestions. All right. So I also wanted to, I said I would address this on the call tonight. So Sarah said, thank you for having me in the group. I signed up for the coaching week and I really hope it will help. I was diagnosed with diabetes in November. My HbA1c was off the scale at 96. I have got it down to 84, but that is nowhere near good enough. I really struggle with food. I like what I eat and I really don't want to have to change that. I know that my daughter is worried about my health, but I feel as if I'm being forced into making changes that I don't want. I really hope there is a way I can do this. Okay, so I actually went back. I wanted to say, what do you think about your diabetes and your health? And the reason I wanted to ask this question is because I noticed that there is a lot of, you know, thoughts here around that, the you know, having brought her HbA1c down, which is fantastic, but then telling herself that it's nowhere near good enough. And also that she says she's being forced into making changes she doesn't really want. And I noticed that I went back to ask Sarah that question. Unfortunately, she's left the group. So I'm really sorry about that. But I wanted to answer this and talk through it in case others of you are feeling the same. It's really important that you kind of ask yourself what you think about your diabetes and your health. There's no right or wrong answer. Everyone's grown, we're grown human adults, we get to choose, but it's useful for you to know the answer, because when you are kind of saying that you are being pressured into losing weight by your doctor, by your daughter, by other people who are concerned about your health, that feels awful. And it could be that you genuinely don't want to make changes and that you would rather live without making those changes. Or it could be that you would really want to make those changes, but you're not actually giving yourself to have that honest a chance to have that honest conversation with yourself, because you're feeling so much pressure from other people. And so that, in all of this, in terms of what's more important than what you actually do to change, is asking yourself an honest question about your diabetes and your health. And this could be an honest question for anyone who is, you know, dealing with something like diabetes or high blood pressure or high cholesterol or anything like that. Write down, get really clear on, okay, this is what the doctors told me. These are the words the doctor said. What do I think about this? What do I want for me? And that's where you've got to start and get really clear so that you know what you want for you. Okay. I grabbed a question. So Sally said she's been listening to the sessions. She signed up for the academy. So brilliant. And then Sally says, with so much to think about this week, have folk who have undertaken the academy reported that it's easier to take it all in when it's chunked into weekly sessions. Also keen to hear how folk who work away from home Monday to Friday regularly are getting on. Any tips to share? Okay. So this week you have been bombarded. It's been full on, hasn't it? It's the fifth day of an hour of absorbing information and learning and having worksheets. So what we do in the academy is there's lots of calls taking place in there, but what I recommend, the teaching calls that we do when you join, there's one a week for 13 weeks. And there's other stuff going on, but I said, like, you know, you can ignore that. You also, of course, have an opportunity to do a call like this. You can come and ask questions like this. You can also come on and have a proper coaching conversation with me. There's still a lot of information. I'm really passionate about sharing everything that I know, everything that I've learned, everything that I've, you know, has come together from the women that I've worked with for the last like 6-7 years, however long it's been, my own experiences. And so I do probably talk a lot, but not all of it will be relevant to you. So what I always say for the women who are in the academy, we focus on one topic a week, by the way, and they're in a very particular order. So they kind of build on one another. So I take you through things step by step in a very, very specific order, which will help it make it a lot easier. Whereas what I've tried to do this week is kind of dip in and out and give you a flavor of a few things. Oh, I was going to say that I got distracted with going off and saying something else. But essentially, it's focusing on one topic a week, and you've got plenty of time throughout that week to either listen to a little bit each day, listen to it. We also do the private podcasts as well. So I don't specifically know of someone who's traveling Monday to Friday, but we have the private podcast, as we have done for this. I know a lot of members of the academy use those private podcasts and listen to those either on their commute or when they're walking the dog or when they're in the kitchen doing chores and things like that. So that can be a great way to engage. And I know that, just like you've asked a question ahead of this call this evening, we also do the same in the academy as well. So that if you have got questions but you can't make the live calls, then you still get answers and you get support in exactly the same way. As for when you're traveling, working away from home and traveling, yeah, it's really looking at, it's just same as it's going to be for anyone. Everybody is going to have their own obstacles. Your obstacles will be unique to you. And what you get to do with the academy is you get to say, okay, this is my life. This is what I want. How do I create this within the structure of my life? So one of the things that I'm away, I don't know if you're like in a hotel or what you're doing, but I always thought when I used to travel with work, when I was away, I had more time in the mornings. And it might not be the same for you, but I might be having to commute somewhere. But I would have more time in the mornings because I'd be staying in the city. It wouldn't be so, far to get from the hotel to the office that I would be going into. And so I could create a really nice morning routine for myself. Whereas when I was at home with the kids and everything and trying to get do the school run, it was a lot more chaotic. And so if that was me now, I would use that time for having my nice cup of coffee, doing my journaling, really setting myself up for the day and supporting myself. I guess other challenges when you're working away from home is maybe you're not cooking. And again, that would be for me, would look like knowing my absolute go-to places. And again, I don't know if you're different places, you're the same places, knowing which restaurants, which takeaway options, all of the different, I would have probably like some set plans for my week and absolutely know what I wanted to go to get the best food that was going to support me that I also really enjoyed. And so I would be supporting myself in that way as well. But we can look at that, we can work through all of that together in the academy, and we can, look at what will be the best way, the easiest way. We always want to make it as easy as possible, the easiest way for you to do those things. All right, I'm going to jump into the Zoom room. I've got a question in here. Christine says, "Hi, Claire. I'm going to America in May for 2 weeks. I feel so stressed that I'm going to be gaining so much weight whilst I'm there, as everything is so big out there with lots of all-you-can-eat buffets. Do you have any tactics I can use as it's clouding my excitement about going?" Yeah, absolutely. So I don't know what part of America you're going to. So I used to go, like, when I used to go to America, like 20 years ago now, probably a lot for work. I mean, gosh, sometimes I would come back having gained 10 pounds. The last few times that I've been to America, I've lost weight whilst I was there. Did I ever think that would happen? No, but I think America's changed in the last 20 years. It's a couple of things that I love. So there are some really good, healthier, I can't remember the names of them, but some really amazing, healthier food restaurant type outlets. I was in Texas, which I wouldn't necessarily would have thought would have had those. I'm sure there's going to be loads available in Florida. I guess seafood comes to mind. So I would really do the research on where you want to eat, what you want to eat. There's a lot of seafood. There's a lot of salads. They do put a lot more additives, I think, into the foods. I used to come back with really bad skin when I ate in the States, but I don't think it's as difficult as it used to be. You can, I think there's only lots of options to eat exactly what and how you want. So I think the question then is more around, managing your mind around it is going to be more than what is logistically available. The fact that everything is so big, what is also great is you can say, "I would like this salad, but without X, Y, and Z things on it." Or you can ask for a half portion, or you can order starters. They call them starters over there, I'm not sure. And just have starters. That would be an option for you as well. But importantly, it's going to be around managing your mind. So it's going to be around, what do you want from the trip? What do you want your eating experience to be from the trip? A lot of the things that I said with the other lady, I can't remember her name now, who was also going on holiday. I won't say it all again, but take that approach to planning, asking yourself what's really important to you. If it's all you can eat buffets, then I would love you to be actually still, if it's planning, chances are these all you can eat buffets in the States, pretty much you're going to have every option there. You're going to have fish, you're going to have chicken, you're going to have salads, you're going to have vegetables, you're probably going to have pasta, probably have pizza. There's probably going to be everything. So don't kind of tell yourself, "Oh, I won't know what to have because I won't know what's available." That would be so easy, wouldn't it, for our minds to say that. "Oh, it's a buffet. We don't know what they're going to have yet." Okay, be honest with yourself. They're going to have pretty much anything, everything, whatever it is I want. So what I want to have, decide if you want to have chicken and vegetables, if you want to have a delicious salad with some fish. Plan your buffets as much as you can, as if you were, planning to go out for a restaurant or something like that. And then the other thing is not eating beyond satiated. It's about going to be about staying present in the moment when you're actually eating your meal. And sort of like really savoring your food, eating slowly, enjoying it, allowing yourself to have a break, decide whether you're satiated. And if you're not, then you can go back and have a little bit more. But it's going to be a lot of in the moment, paying attention to how you're eating that I think could help you with that. Thank you for asking your question. All right, I'm going to come now to the Facebook group, which I posted that Q&A in earlier. So I'm going to come there first. So thank you to everyone who's put a question in here. So Wendy, I don't know if you're still around. So you said, I'd love to lose, but the pressure and things going off, and I wasn't too sure what you meant. So yeah, if you are able to tell me more about that, then I would love to know. Yeah, Sharon says, get the replay. Yeah, we've got that. I picked up Sally's question earlier, so I've answered that one. Mary says, I'm stalled. I lost 150 pounds. First of all, I just want to say phenomenal congratulations to Mary for losing 150 pounds. That is just amazing. You said your goal is to lose 20 to 30 more. You're exercising 3 times a week, and you're very active, and you're diabetic, and so eating is not an option. So, I mean, it's really difficult for me to know what to suggest without having a conversation with you around how you're eating. When it comes down to the last sort of like amount of, small amount of weight to lose, then we want to look, and I don't know if you're already doing this, so I'm just going to say a few things, and if you're already doing that, then tell me what you are doing and we can sort of have a continued conversation. But it's about really looking for those any extra licks and bites, so popping something in your mouth if you're preparing a meal. It's around getting, trying to think what else I would say, that one, looking at the proportions of what you're eating and seeing if you're happy with those proportions. Are you eating to enough and not eating to beyond satiated? The most important thing, I think, when it comes down to those last or like 20 or 30 pounds, is going to be consistency. It's going to be, really being consistent with how you're eating. And I don't know if you're doing all of those things already or not, because I'm not sure what you're doing. So it's a little bit tricky to say. But those are the things that I would be looking out for, is being really consistent, not having any extra licks and bites when you're like, preparing in the kitchen, having that little biscuit on the side when you go for a coffee or something like that. And then having a really sort of like asking yourself, okay, if I, what are the options of changes that are available for me to make here? That's another good question you can ask yourself. What are the possible things that I can do? I'm going to assume that you're drinking plenty of water. That would be something that I would suggest. I'm going to assume that you're getting enough sleep. That would be something that I would check in on. Would also check in on how you are in terms of managing any stresses in your life. So if you have any sort of like low, like sort of consistent sort of stresses or tensions, then I would explore something like breathing or mindfulness, or maybe going for, you saying you're doing a walk, exercising 3 times a week, maybe you incorporate a daily walk and make sure that your stress levels are where you want them to be. All of these little tiny things, it's really a process of trial and error. Everything that I've just kind of said there is going to support you anyway. But it's just about figuring out what makes a difference for you. I would be looking at my weight and sort of really learning from what's going on with that. Okay. Janice says, I'm at my wit's end on how I can lose when on HRT patches. It is really impacting my self-confidence and self-esteem. I feel so negative about my body and on how I'm able to lose weight. Okay. So I would start with looking at how you're eating. So when you, I don't know how you're eating, I don't know what you're doing. I'm also on HRT patches. I know lots of women who are on HRT. I know it works better for some women than for other women. Other women choose more natural ways to help themselves through menopause. So I had a hysterectomy 5.5 years ago. So I went into surgical menopause. I had a complete hysterectomy and went on to HRT. I think it is harder to lose weight perimenopause, postmenopause. It's harder to lose weight as you get older. It's like, okay, this is where we are. What are the options available to us? How can I help myself with this? How can I support myself? It's really important to find compassion for yourself, but also curiosity. Okay. So you're going to want to empower yourself. You're going to want to be like, okay, this is where we are. What are the options available to me? What can I do that I'm not already doing? And without knowing what you're already doing, I can't really make suggestions for you. It's going to be looking at, again, what you eat. It's going to be about managing stress, getting enough sleep. I appreciate that's incredibly difficult when we are menopausal, all of those things. But it's like knowing that you can make small, if you make small changes, they will have a cumulative effect. I appreciate as well impacting your self-confidence and self-esteem. It's going to be really important to work on saying loving, kind, compassionate things for yourself. That's going to be important as well, to kind of take yourself by the hand, or come and get help and support in the academy if you'd like, but take yourself by the hand and kind of lead yourself step by step through it. I promise it's possible to feel better. It is possible to lose weight, even when we're on HRT patches, going through the menopause, whatever. I mean, there's lots of reasons why weight loss can be really difficult for people with PCOS, and also, you know, type 2 diabetes as well can make it more difficult. Okay. All right. Yeah. Just reading the other comments. So you also had a surgical menopause. Yeah. So fibromyalgia. Okay. So it's going to be trying different things, being really supportive and compassionate with yourself. Okay. Mary's asked, best exercise to tighten belly, breast, and bat wings. Yeah, I have no clue. I'm not an exercise expert. All mindset, food side of things, but I've got no clue when it comes to exercise. And if you've got the answers, anyone else, then by all means share. And I could do with knowing that for myself as well. So yeah, I'm definitely not the best person to answer questions on exercise and firming up all of those things. All right, let me see if I can find any other questions here. Okay, so not more. Okay, let's come back to the any more questions anybody got for me in the Zoom room? Tracy's got a question. Do you think it's okay not to eat breakfast? And do you think it matters if some days you have low calories, so around 1100 calories, but other days have 1600? For example, if you average daily calories to lose weight, is that okay? So I think if it works for you to not eat breakfast, that is absolutely fine. If it works for people to eat breakfast, that is absolutely fine. Personally, I don't eat breakfast. I love it. It works well for me. I have more energy. I have more focus. Fantastic. My daughter tried not eating breakfast, doesn't work for her. She's far better if she has breakfast. Everybody is different. So there's no right or wrong. The only thing that is right or wrong is what works for you. As for calories, so whether it matters if you have 1100 calories or 1600 calories or 1400 calories depends on how you feel physically, how you feel emotionally. See if there's any mind drama going on around that. And then if you are creating the results, the weight loss results that you want. So whether you want to lose, if you're losing, want to lose weight and you're losing and you feel fantastic, then great. If you want to lose weight and you're not losing, then it's not probably not going to be the best option for you. So every single person is different. Everyone has different energy needs. Everyone has, you know, lives a different lifestyle. There is a different life stage. This is really the work with the way I work is really about helping you figure out what is best for you, kind of giving you the confidence to empower yourself. I want to give you knowledge as well. I think that's really important. We don't want to be, you know, giving like telling ourselves that we know all the, you know, oh, I'm going to eat this way and lose weight. And if that's not going to work, that's not going to work. So I want you to be really empowered. I want you to have the most up-to-date information, the latest research, all of those sorts of things. But then I want to help you take the best of that that works for you. And that is going to be different for each and every one of you. And then I want you to empower yourselves to get clarity around that, decide what you want to do, and then move forward. So what I would suggest is that you have a couple of weeks where you have the calories, if that's what I don't count calories. We don't count calories in the academy. Some people may choose to outside of that, you know, that's what works for them. That's absolutely fine. I'm not going to tell you you can't count calories, but it's not something I say to people, oh, I want you to count calories. But what I suggest then is if that's how you would like to be eating, eat that way for 2 weeks and see what happens. See if you feel great. See if you feel deprived, because you don't want to feel deprived. The only other thing I say is I would only encourage you to eat that way if that is how you want to eat for life. So that's another thing that I talk to you about in the academy, is I want you to make changes and figure out what works for you, but I only want you to be doing things that you are happy to do for life. Intermittent fasting, I was listening to the Zoe podcast. They were talking about that today. Not listened to all of it yet. And they said, oh, if we called it intermittent eating, then it wouldn't be so scary to people. But I've been intermittent fasting for 6 or 7 years, maybe longer. Yeah, definitely 7 years, maybe nearly 8 years. I'm never going to go back to having breakfast unless something happens medically where things change and I need to. But just because it suits me and it works for me doesn't mean it's going to work for everyone. but it's a change that I made that I'm absolutely happy to do for life. And that's really important. Okay. Sally says, thanks for asking the question. You're welcome. You're in Scotland, not renowned for warm, gorgeous day. Wanting to get out for a walk and exercise. Can I guarantee sunshine for the next 13 weeks of the academy? Yeah, I wish I could. I really wish I could. So pleased you joined us in the academy. So pleased you've enjoyed this week. And thank you, Sally, for sharing what you shared there. All right. Anybody else got any questions? Let me have another look. Checked there. Can't see any more here. Let me just double check. Okay. Let me check on Zoom. Oh, I've got some more in Zoom, I think. Okay. How much is it for just the 13 weeks? So it would be just under £150. So if you want to join as a monthly member, you can cancel any time. So it would be 349. So what's that, £147, if my maths is right, I think. So if you fancy joining us for that, Jane, that would be fantastic. If I join the Academy, will the books be sent prior to the course starting on Wednesday the 17th? Yep, they would. They will be, unless you order, probably. If you order before noon tomorrow, then you will get them before Wednesday. If it's afternoon tomorrow, then they might not get sent out to Monday, then it might be a little bit later. But yeah, if you'd like to join, then we will do our best to get those to you for Wednesday. And everyone else who has joined as well and is waiting on your books. Yeah, I'm trying to want to batch them all up together and get them all out in a batch. So we'll be doing that. Well, yeah, I'll be doing it tomorrow morning. So yeah, it'd be great if everybody got theirs in before then. If not, we'll still get them to you as soon as you can. Is the self-sabotage workshop specifically for the academy or any alternative access? So that is a bonus when you join the academy. It's also actually being offered as a bonus if you choose to sign up for unlimited access to this week, which is currently on offer at £37. So if you only wanted that, then you could do that. But if I would encourage you to, I don't know, maybe join for a month in the academy and sort of have a dip in and out and see what other things are there as well, because there's other things that you might find helpful. Judith says, I'm not somebody who has ever written a shopping list or done any journaling. Would I find the program too difficult? I also had a hysterectomy. I'm on HRT still 12 years later. I have been really struggling to lose weight really slowly. Yeah, it is tough. I do know it's tough. So I would say, are you willing to have a go at writing a shopping list or writing down something on a piece of paper? I hadn't done any journaling before my weight loss journey. I think I wrote a diary when I was like 14, 15, but I hadn't done anything since then. As for writing a shopping list, maybe occasionally I did. It was probably more if I was entertaining for people and making, special recipes and things, then I'd write a shopping list. But generally with my day-to-day shopping, I didn't. So you don't have to be an expert at it, but I think it is helpful. So I would ask you to sort of ask yourself, am I willing to have a go at writing a shopping list? And if you're willing, then fantastic. If you're really resistant to doing that, I would be really curious and ask yourself why, with some loving curiosity. I would also kind of sometimes we think we need to do things perfectly, or we think there's a right way to write a shopping list, and or we think there's a right way to journal. That's definitely one that I think a lot of people like, I don't know how to journal. I don't know the right way to do it. There is no right way. There's just, having a go and seeing what works for you. So I definitely would be encouraging you to write a shopping list because I think it will help. But it's whether that is a shopping list for a week shopping or a day shopping or a meal shopping or whatever it is for you, it doesn't matter too much. Also, a lot of people in the academy have got families. It might be that their partners are doing the shopping. There's all sorts of different things going on. So people aren't planning and preparing and writing shopping lists and doing the shopping in the same way. Everybody's different. But I don't think you'd find the program too difficult if you're willing to have a little go. And also, if whatever is difficult for you, just keep asking for help and support. So I really encourage you to do. But yes, I mean, I appreciate it's really difficult. The weight loss after post-hysterectomy, post-menopause, as we get older, all of those things. But I don't think that means that we shouldn't work at it, that we shouldn't, so I think almost like it's loving ourselves enough that it's worth the effort and the time and the effort and the energy. So yeah, Okay, a couple of other questions. So Jay says, what's intermittent fasting? So intermittent fasting is a term used to describe the part of the day where you don't eat. And so everybody doesn't eat normally between whatever their last meal or snack of the evening is and breakfast the next morning. And when people are talking about intermittent fasting, often what they're talking about is extending that time period from the last time they eat at night until the first time they eat at the morning. So for a lot of people, it might be having breakfast a little bit later, or it might be actually not having anything to eat after 7 p.m. in the evening, something like that. It's a very general term, so it's also used to describe lots of other patterns of not eating and fasting. And so there's, people do 1 meal a day fasting, they do 36-hour water fasts, all sorts of weird and wonderful things. That's not something that I'm experienced. That's not something I do myself. I just like to not eat before noon, and then I try not to eat after 7 p.m. in the evening. That's what works best for me. So just think of it in terms of actually thinking about the timing of when you want to eat, and it's all to do with what works for you. But it's just one way that some people like to eat, because research has shown that it has some benefits. And those benefits aren't just about losing weight as well. Some people feel more focused, have more energy, feel less hungry, all sorts of things. I will say one thing with regards to intermittent fasting. If people are asking me questions about it in the academy, then if you have a diet that is high in refined carbohydrates, really sorry, there's loads of dog barking going on in the background here. If you're eating a diet that is high in refined carbohydrates and added sugars, I would recommend balancing your diet more first before you experiment with intermittent fasting. Otherwise, you're probably going to feel really hungry. So it's kind of something that you might want to do at some stage in your weight loss journey. If you don't, absolutely fine. Abigail says, I just want to order the books. How do I do that, please? Yeah, the workbooks are only available to Academy members. So I'm not sure if you're an Academy member already, then fantastic. Just message me your email address and we'll get that sorted for you. I can send you the link, but they are just available for Academy members. What does daily journaling comprise, please? Okay, so comprise. So daily journaling is really getting your thoughts down out of your head and on paper. So when we're doing some mindset work, we are uncovering ways that we think often that we might not have been aware of. We're kind of studying ourselves and what's going on in our mind. It might be the stories that we tell ourselves, these little sentences. It might be sometimes it's like our mean girl dialogue of being like critical or critical self. When all of that's going on in your head, it's quite difficult to see it. And it's quite difficult to kind of figure out A, what's going on, and B, whether it's useful to you or not. So when I talk, and there's lots of different ways of journaling, but often what I encourage people to do is to just write down, how are you thinking? How are you feeling? What's going on for you right now? And that can be really enlightening. And if you think about it, is like everything that's in our heads, it's a bit like if you've got an attic or a basement, or even just your wardrobe with all your clothes stuffed down the back that you've not seen for years. You can't really do much with them while they're there. But if you want to kind of see what's there and decide whether you want to keep it or not, if you pull it all out into your bedroom and like lay it all out on your bed and all over your floor, then you can kind of think, okay, what do I want to do with that? And I think of journaling a little bit like that. It's like getting the stuff that's in your head onto some paper, and then you can like hold it a bit of a distance and get some perspective on it and be like, oh, okay, this is what's going on. All right, what do we want to do with that? And that's again, is something that we teach you in the academy. It's one of the modules that we teach you there. Sarah says, I'm going on a cruise in 7 weeks, so I'm afraid of breaking the 13-week program. No. So absolutely, you should do it whilst you're on your cruise. It's really important for everybody. This is not a diet. This is you going on your cruise and break the program. That's what we want you to do. So we don't want you to go on this and be like, oh my gosh, I've got to like stick this out for as long as possible and not have anything go wrong. We want everything that is going to come up, be difficult in your life, trip you up, throw you a curveball, however you want to think about it, to happen while you're with us working through the program in the academy. because then you can learn what's going on for you. You can decide what you want to do differently, and we can help and support you with this. So this is the difference between this and a diet. This is where you emotionally eat, overeat, eat off plan, holiday eat, weekend eat, whatever it is. We want to help you with all of that. You really want to help you figure out how you want to eat when you go on a cruise for life. You go on a lifelong cruise would be fun, but that's really important. So this isn't about like sticking with it until the end and then going, oh God, now I can relax and go back to normal. Absolutely not. This is how you eat to live. Jay says, do you get the books if you do the 13 weeks? So if you join today or tomorrow as a monthly member, you will get the Food for Thought program workbook. So yeah, so if you join today as a monthly member, you'll get the Food for Thought workbook. In order to get both workbooks, you would need to join as an annual member. You can buy the second workbook, which is the daily work workbook, if you want to, if you join as a monthly member, but we'll send you as a bonus the Food for Thought program workbook. The 13 weeks starts next week on Wednesday, and that class is going to run at Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Okay, so that's when that starts there. All right, let's see if I've got anything else to say. So yeah, so I'm just going to recap some questions and confusions about bonuses and joining and workbooks. So two options to join the Academy are you can join as an annual member for £490. So you're effectively paying for 10 months. So you're getting 2 months free. Or you can come and join us as a monthly member, which is £49 per month. You join as a monthly member, you're not tied in for a year or anything like that. You can cancel at any time. So you can come in and join for 3 months and then cancel if you want to do the Food for Thought program and then decide whether you want to stay or whether you want to go. The bonuses and the where you'd go to join if you want to go to www.thebestyou.coach/enroll. I will put the links in again. It should be somewhere in the group, but I'll put that in again. And then you will see the two options. And in addition to the workbook bonuses, if you come in as an annual member right now, then you get access to our kind of like archive, our resource, which is like a Netflix of archive of coaching on all topics to do with your relationship with food, living your best life, and your relationship with yourself. And so that's available as a bonus, extra bonus for annual members. Also, if you come in as an annual member, you get a 30-minute private call with me, and you get access to a self-sabotage workshop and a loving yourself, a self-love workshop. If you join as a monthly member, you get a 15-minute check-in with me just to make sure you're set up and you've got everything that you need in the academy, or can ask me a question. And you also get access to the two bonus workshops as well. You can ask me in the academy. We have a Facebook community like this one that's just for academy members. And you can ask me questions as often as you want in there, just as you have been doing here. So that's that. There's also, I will say as well, there is also an option for some add-on focused 30-minute coaching sessions as a member of the Academy. So if you wanted to have 1, 3, or 6 sessions, then there's the option to add that on as well. If you think you might need a little bit of extra help and support, if that's something that you're interested in, message me. If you've got any questions about the Academy, message me or email me at support@weightwhispering.com. Okay. And I just want to reiterate as well, the difference between listening to the podcasts and joining the Academy. The podcast, there's a lot of information there. I think they're really good, really useful. I would definitely recommend it. But listening to the podcast is quite a passive way of learning. It's going to really increase your awareness around what's going on for you. So those of you who are on the call yesterday, we were talking about the 4 stages of learning, going from what you're not aware, not being aware, you know, your unconscious incompetence to your conscious incompetence. The podcasts are going to help you with that conscious incompetence, being aware of what's going on for you, but getting you to the state of conscious competence, the Academy is really going to help you with that, because we're going to take you step by step through the tools that we want to teach you. And then we're going to be with you and supporting you as you do the work of applying those tools of like, okay, this is what we're focusing on this week. It's like, go away and do that. And then come back to me and let me know how you get on. Let's look at what worked. Fantastic. Appreciate and congratulate yourself for that. Let's look at what you learned from what didn't work. What has that told you about yourself, your relationship with food, the different obstacles that are going to come up for you that you're going to want to address? And then we can look at what you want to do differently going forward. So it's very much like an iterative process where you're continually learning and applying what you learn, and then looking at the bits that work and the bits that don't work, and then we go again. And that's really important when it comes to eating, because as you know, it's one thing like knowing what to do, like having a diet. The reason diets don't work isn't because we don't know what to do. It's because we've got the diet, but then we don't follow the diet because we don't know what's going on for us emotionally. We don't know what our mindset is telling us and all of those things. So this is allowing all of that to happen, the off-plan eats, the emotional eats. We learn from them. If you are doing this and not allowing those things to come up for you, then you're not going to learn from them. We want all of the mess, all of what's difficult, all of it to come up so that you can learn from it. Okay, so really want to sort of like just reiterate that. The other thing is, it's really important that when you come into the academy, that you're willing and ready to make a few changes. We're so used to being the way that we are, often we cannot get the perspective to see things differently. And this is what I'm trained and have years of experience in helping you to do. When you see things differently, you feel differently, and then it's easier to do things differently. But I can't help you. So the academy is not for anyone. You've got to be willing to like shift a little bit. I can't help you, or the academy can't help you if you're stuck in the struggle of being overweight. Some of us are kind of used to being stuck in the struggle of it. And you'll know if you're stuck in the struggle of it because you won't be willing to change anything or try things or experiment. If this is you, then I really encourage you to give yourself a but loving talking to. It will likely be fear that's kind of keeping you in that place. And often it's a really uncomfortable place to be. But even though it's really uncomfortable to be there, we kind of feel stuck. So just sort of like check in with yourself and say, am I willing to learn? And am I willing to change and give things a go? It doesn't have to be making big changes, with small changes much better. Okay, so it's like thinking things like, could I change what I eat for lunch for a week and see what happens? Or could I try planning for a few days and see what that's like? Or can I pause and think differently about this weekend and how I'm thinking about it and focus on non-food pleasures? Am I willing to do that? And if you are, then we have a really good chance of getting you where you want to be. Okay, so yeah, I think little hiccups along the way are really normal, and they are not failure, they are learning. That's the message I want you to take away. You only really fail if you totally quit and give up and you decide that's it. But if you like, we have these little detours on the path as we go along, that's a normal part of the process. That's not failing, that's living your life and learning to change your relationship with food as you go. All right. So if you're willing to change, I really encourage you to join us in the academy because that's the best way I can support you. And I don't want you to be in the same place 6 or 12 months from now. I don't want you to be like, oh, I'm still here. So in order to change, we have to be willing to do things differently. Something like some quote about madness, isn't it? It's doing the same thing over and over again. So we all deserve, I think, to be our healthiest, happiest, and most free self. And yeah, I would love to support those of you with that who would like support. So, any further questions, please do reach out to me, ask. We've got one more session on Saturday. I do offer the Saturday session because I know sometimes people are working and it just gives those people a chance to catch up with the replays and then also have a chance to still have questions asked. All right. But thanks again for everyone for being here this evening, for being so supportive of everyone in the communities. I'll announce the prizes on Saturday morning as well. And then we'll go from there. All right. Take care, everyone, and have a great evening.
If you enjoyed listening to this podcast and are ready to live a more intentional life, lose weight as a part of that journey, and create a relationship with food and yourself that you love, then I would be honored to have you join the Lose Weight, Live Life Academy membership and coach with me. The program offers different levels of support to suit you, including self-paced learning, twice weekly calls, private coaching, an amazingly caring community, and lots more. Find out all the details about when and how you can join at www.thebestyou.coach/coaching.